I love the hymn and the line that says, "Living by faith in Jesus above." Let's talk about salvation by faith.
Wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. Thanks for joining me today as we spend just a little time looking at the wonderful words of life, examining book, chapter, and verse. I hope you will tune in each week as we look at God's Word together. And please know that at the end of our broadcast, we will offer some free Bible study material for you so you can continue this study in your very home. Please stay tuned and stay with us. And again, thank you for joining me today. Consider with me that there is salvation in none other. According to Acts 4 and verse 12, speaking of Jesus Christ, Peter says there is salvation in no other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into the world, as we note from the most beautiful passage in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So again, through Christ being sent into the world by the Father, we were able to see a key element of salvation, and that is faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." What a powerful text. Think about Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that says, "Now faith," or rather verse 1 if you will, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now let's look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11 that tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Let's consider another text about faith. That is Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." In John 20, verses 30 and 31, the Bible tells us about Christ and His earthly ministry, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." Again, that's from John 20, 30 and 31. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5, the Bible teaches us that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. These are some wonderful verses about the power of faith. And let us see the salvation of God today as we walk by faith. Let's see the importance of faith, the faith of Christ, and even the faith of ourselves. Let's begin by thinking and understanding that the salvation of God is active through the one faith. In Ephesians 4 and verse 5, amongst all of the ones that are listed there, we understand and see Ephesians 4, 5 simply says, there is one faith. Along with one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, we understand that there is one faith. One hope, but one faith. As we think about the one faith, think with me for a moment. When the statement is made, "We are of different faiths," know this: two people cannot discuss different faiths and both of them be right. Either one is right and one is wrong, or both are wrong, but they cannot be right. Thus, we both can be right if we pursue the one faith of which the Bible speaks. It is the one faith that is to be obeyed in Acts 6 and verse 7. There is one faith to be obeyed. And as mentioned in Romans 1 and verse 5, an obedience to the faith among all nations. So there is one faith that is to be obeyed. Let's think about that one faith in which one continues. According to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, we are reminded of the faith that we are to continue, a faith that we stay in. But listen to this also in Acts 14, 22. They were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. One is obedient and one continues in that faith. Look at this text from Galatians 2 and verse 16 of the one faith of Christ's authority. Paul writes, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, looking at that verse, you and I both can see that there is a faith in which we are to believe, or in other words, we have a faith in the one faith. What a beautiful study, something we can embrace. In Jude verse 3, it is the one faith for which we are to contend, to stand knowing that it was the faith delivered once for all. Meaning there's nothing else to be delivered. Nothing else is to come. The one faith we see clearly revealed in the Bible. It's the one faith, sadly, that some may depart, according to 1 Timothy 4:1. That some will depart from the faith. So we understand the faith is the gospel message, the truth of which we embrace. You see, when we look within the Bible speaks of a personal faith, but it also speaks of the faith of Christ, or the one faith, or the faith, the gospel, the whole scheme to which God has revealed unto man for man to become obedient to that faith. So within the one faith, it instructs us of the importance of repentance in such passages as Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, and Acts 17:31. It instructs us of confession in Philippians 2 and verse 11 and Acts 8 verse 37. The one faith instructs us about baptism in Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 8 and verse 38, Colossians 2 and verse 12, and Mark 16 and verse 16. And it's the one faith that will put us in Christ when we are obedient to the gospel with such text as Romans 6, 4 through 6, and Galatians 3 and verse 27. And one must continue faithfully in the faith according to Revelation 2 and verse 10. So what do we have when we look at this? When we talk about the one faith, then we're talking about the teaching, the faith, that individuals were converted to, continue in, and a faith that they can convey to others. It's the gospel, the Word of God. The salvation of God is by faith. The one faith that God has revealed, this is how we learn of God's salvation, the faith of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? How God has revealed that unto us through His Word. Now let's build on this by noticing a second thing. That the salvation of God is not attained by a dead faith. I cannot take the faith of God, the salvation that God has provided through the faith of Christ, through the faith. I cannot accept it if my faith is a dead faith. Can't work that way. Watch this. In James chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, and ask a question, "Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Now, the context there is referring to not faith and works, but a faith that works. You see, folks, I can do all kinds of works for God, but that doesn't mean that the number of my works will save me. That's not what it means. I can do all kind of works for God left and right, and then on judgment day, I would look at God and say, "You owe me because of my works." Well, see, now I'm working myself into heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that top side nor bottom, if you will. But our faith is expressed by the works that we do. Our faith should be an active faith, not a dead faith. If faith only saves, what about the demons? In James 2:19, one verse above, we understand, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble." We are able to express our faith in action. In John 12, 42 and 43, the Bible reminds us of a time in the life of Christ that nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So see, they did believe, but their belief was not in action of confessing Him. The devils believe, but they tremble. They don't put into action their faith toward God. A dead faith will not work, and faith alone by itself will not work. I can believe in the faith of Christ. I can believe it exists. But if I'm not willing to respond to the faith of Christ through my living faith, then I have nothing. Did you know there's an interesting study to give a try? Take a concordance, a Bible concordance, and nowadays with computers it's easier to do. Put in the concordance the phrase, "faith only," or "faith alone," word by word. And you know one passage in the Bible has the words "faith only" together? It's in James 2, verse 24. And that's where James says, "You see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." You see, a dead faith, a faith with no action, no life, no pursuit, is just that. It's a dead faith. Faith without works or action or expression is dead, being alone. It's as the spirit leaves the body. Faith without works is dead also. Now again, this is not subscribing that our salvation is by works alone. You know, I do so much work, you do so much work, and God owes us. Oh, no. An obedient faith is a faith that's in action, a faith that is expressed by the deeds that we do. You know, a man may work from sun to sun, but a man that will save himself by works, it can never be done. Works are an expression of our believing active faith in Christ. That when we believe in Christ, we're going to move on that faith in action. I mean, just consider everything we've looked at before. Now, I want you to notice a third attribute of the salvation of God concerning faith. that we understand the salvation of God is attained by the one faith, and the salvation of God cannot work with a dead faith, and the salvation of God is also altered by a weak faith. For example, God's salvation is there. There are countless people who will obey the gospel of Christ through their faith, accept and obey the faith of Christ. God's salvation is there, but there are times that the storms of life will move our focus. I like to think of this one in Matthew 14. There is an account there of when they were on the Sea of Galilee. And in Matthew 14, in verse 22, let's look at this one a little closer. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now, watch verse 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, let's bring forth a little application here. God's salvation is there, but the storms of life will move our focus. The storms of life will shift our focus to where problems will arise, troubles will rise up, things will happen in our lives and move our focus away from Christ. And when that happens, it weakens our faith in Christ. Let's restore that focus, according to Hebrews 12:2, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's keep and renew our focus and don't allow the storms of life to alter our weak faith. Keep the focus on Christ. When the storms come, let's just bear with it. But also, not only the storms of life, but the supplies of life can move our focus. When I think of Matthew 6 and verse 30, how the lilies of the field toil not and neither do they spin, and how yet they do not worry about things. You and I do need to remove the worries from our lives. Matthew 6, 31 and 32 teaches us lessons not to be worrisome, but not to allow those things to discourage us. Sometimes we allow the storms of life, the problems that rise up, just pull us away from our faith. We've seen individuals that problems will happen and they pull away from the church and things don't improve and they wonder why. Kind friend, God didn't move, we did. Worries and strife move us to where our faith decreases as our worries increase. A weak faith that's not addressed will continue to weaken. We must renew our obedient faith to the faith of Christ, and we must renew that. When we're faced with the challenges and the problems, don't back off your faith, full speed ahead. Let's consider the fourth thing today about the salvation of God by faith. I submit to you the salvation of God is anchored with a strong faith. Oh, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. when I read of the faith of that centurion. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at the home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, he was amazed, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. The centurion said, I'm not worthy, but your word is worthy. And when Jesus said, I have not found as great a faith in Israel, he was saying, here are those, the centurion, the best we can understand, one that was not a Jew, a Roman soldier, a centurion. He said, I'm not worthy, Lord, for you to come in my house, but your word is worthy. And how Jesus praised him for that strong faith. Oh, think about Noah's strong faith to build an ark on dry ground. Hebrews 11:7 speaks of the great faith of Noah. To our understanding, until the time of Noah in Genesis 6, no rain had come upon the earth. God watered and fed through the mist that would rise up from the surface. Noah's strong faith put an ark on dry ground, believing the message that God would bring forth. How about Abraham when he offered Isaac in Hebrews 11:17? He offered up his son as a sacrifice, carried through that faith, knowing that God would provide, and he did. How about for the walls of Jericho to fall, mentioned in Hebrews 11:30, Joshua 6:2. Just march around the walls, and when you let out a shout, the walls would fall. March around 7 times. It took great faith. Think about these examples. What strong faith, unreal faith. You're going to build a huge ark on dry ground? You're going to offer up your son Isaac? You're going to march around a fortified wall 7 times and shout and it falls? That's amazing of such great faith. And the faith that is obedient unto God, to the faith, is a strong faith. To where some would say, it's not possible, but according to Luke 18:27, all things are possible. What a great time for you and I to study about the faith today. To look at the faith of Christ that saves us through our faith when it is obedient and moving upon the things God commands. I can't believe alone. I can't just say, Lord, Lord, save me. Matthew 7:21 took care of that. Matthew 7:21 reminds us that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The will of the Father, the one faith. And when our obedient faith meets the one faith, therein is the salvation of God. The one faith, as we mentioned moments ago, prompts us in obedience through our faith. The beauty of repentance and confession and baptism into Christ. To be raised to walk in newness of life and to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we may press onward faithful for our Lord. That's the beauty of the salvation of God, by faith, the faith of Christ, and through our obedient faith that accepts it. May we embrace that for the next few moments, and I'll be back in just a bit. But for right now, let's enjoy this beautiful hymn together.
Beautiful robe so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful home so bright, where there shall come no night. beautiful crown I'll wear, shining and bright o'er there, yonder in mansions fair, gather us there. Beautiful robes, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there,
yes, gather us there.
Beautiful thought to me, we shall forever be thine in eternity, when from this world we're free, free from its toil and care, heavenly joys to share. Let me cross over there, this is my prayer. Beautiful roads, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there. Beautiful things on high, over in yonder sky, thus I shall leave this shore, counting my treasures o'er, where we shall never die. Carry me by and by, never to sorrow more, heavenly store.
The salvation of God is by faith, the one faith. And remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let it be.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.